invite you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we have come to this point where we're going to see our brother, this series in the life of the Apostle Peter. Follow thou me, the Lord has said to our brother many times. We saw last Wednesday how our Lord told him how he's going to die. He told him what he intended for him to do. He didn't ask him. He commanded him. Okay, he is the Lord's servant. He is the Lord's child. He is the Lord's apostle. He is a leader in the church. The Lord has told him some things even in advance, and Peter's failings. But the Lord said he prayed for him. And I love that. I love that the Lord Jesus said that he had prayed for our brother. And I'm so thankful for our Lord Jesus is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for his children. What a great thing that is, that our names were being talked about. Subject matter in heaven, in glory, in the throne room of God, are the members of Olmsted Baptist Church, are those who are saved, are the subject matter, some of the subject matter spoken about in heaven. We need to know that. We need to realize that. We kind of can have a tendency to think that we just kind of get swooped in with the crowd, okay? Our salvation and our Lord keeping us is an individual thing. We have a great thing in the church where we are together in the church, and the Lord deals and talks about our church there in glory too, and His churches. What's most important to us is us, you know, because we're here, Olmsted Baptist Church, and the membership of our church. And what a blessing that is. The Lord prayed for Peter, and he's told him, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen the brethren. I've got that for you to do too. The Lord Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And of course, we saw last time in John 21 where he appeared unto the disciples up in Galilee and how the Lord charged Peter and how Peter was still worried about what John and others were going to do. And then the Lord spent 40 days. I think it's important for us to see that. Let's just read this chapter from verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. And this is Brother Luke writing. Okay, Luke, not an apostle, might be a Gentile. Might be. May not be. Might be. Nevertheless, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So he's writing this letter to his friend Theophilus to make everything clear about what happened after Jesus rose from the dead and what the Lord Jesus did after he rose from the dead and what the apostles did after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Continuing commandments, okay? Continuing commandments to his church, the Lord gave. To whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his death, burial, and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. If you want, you could make a little note right there in your margin, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where you have the summary of the gospel and the testimony of the witnesses of the apostles, Peter, the apostles, and the 500 brethren that saw the Lord Jesus Christ alive all at one time. Okay? And so that's some of these things that happen. And so 40 days in verse number 3. To him also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. 40 days between the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and Pentecost, when Pentecost is going to happen. Pentecost is out there at the 50th day from the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I think I'm remembering that right. Maybe from Passover. However that's counted. There before Pentecost, after the resurrection, 3 days from Passover, 40 days the Lord Jesus met with the apostles. He met with the church. And he taught them and instructed them and opened their eyes and that they might receive the word, that they might understand the scriptures that spoke about Christ. Okay? for those 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them they should be not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit of the church, that sanctioning that the Lord's going to do for his body, for his church, not the beginning of the church, but the public sanctioning that the Lord is going to give upon his church by the thing that he's going to perform in them. Okay? It'll be a proof, an evidence, a sign that cannot be denied. Okay? And just as we saw the Lord with the temple and with the tabernacle, and now it's not a physical building. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well at Sychar, the Lord said, it's not going to be about geography. It's not going to be about Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim. It's going to be worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's who the Lord's looking for, to worship him, the Lord said. Verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom, again restore the kingdom to Israel? And so they still looked and said, okay, now that you've raised from the dead, now Israel's going to come back, right? They were looking for that. In the garden, Peter thought, this is it. And he's cutting off ears. No, the Lord said, no, put that back in your sheath. I've got some things to do. That's not the spirit that you're of. You don't even know what spirit you're of. Can't I call legions of angels to deliver me? Total misunderstanding. But and the Lord in this 40 days is straightening out the misunderstanding, and even in this. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Now, do you remember that? The Lord Jesus Christ, we saw that when Peter and John wanted to know about when's it going to be what you said about all these stones of the temple going to be turned, pulled down, and not one's not going to be on top of the other. When's that going to be? And the Lord Jesus told different aspects of that, different facets of that, different pieces and parts of that. But he comes down there to the end of that chapter where we looked at in the Gospels, and he said, but I don't even know the time. And it's not for you to know the time. The angels don't know the time. Only the Father knows the time. Okay? And so, is it time? No, it's not for you to know. All right? Not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's going to be on the Father's schedule, the Lord's schedule, God Almighty's schedule. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you in this public way, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so our brother writes here about these commandments. Verse number 2, Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had chosen. The Lord Jesus gives this commandment unto them directly, the Great Commission, as we refer to it, the threefold work and purpose of our church, of Olmsted Baptist Church, and this is telling about that first, is to preach the gospel near, farther out, and as far out as we can go. Okay? Then after that, baptize believers, and after that, teach to the believers, those that have come and joined to the church, to teach all things that the Lord's given us to observe. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? You know, I find that interesting, and that's a subject for another time. Ye men of Galilee. What an unlikely lot. What an unlikely crew that our Lord has called. But he has promised that he will use the weak things and the despised things of the earth to confound the mighty and the accepted and believed upon by men. Ye men of Galilee. That's pretty broad brush, isn't it? Ye men of Galilee. I think it's kind of telling us that all of our brethren that were apostles and their family, they're from Galilee, aren't they? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's on his way He's gone, but there's a promise. He's coming back the same way. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room, and there where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. So the women were not left out. And if you do any studying and consideration about the temple, there was a court of women. There was only so far that the women could come. But now, to worship in the Lord's house, not this, but you, in our case, the women can come physically, can come as far as the men to worship. Ladies, you are called upon to worship our Lord in spirit and truth just like we are. The men are. Sons and daughters, the Lord says now. The Scripture says now. The Apostle Paul refers to that and in quoting the Lord there as he writes to the Corinthians. There's not a place in the back or outside for the women to be, but the women are to be right here together with us in the assembly. Now, there's an order in the assembly, all right? And we look to hold to that the women are to be in subjection, not to usurp authority over the men, and to be in silence, okay? From the standpoint of the teaching of the word and the order of our services, that's where we take it to. We don't take it from the standpoint of singing specials, okay? Or singing congregationally. But you're right here, too. You're right here, too, to fill your place. We men, we have a place to fill. So many churches, or churches so-called across the land in our day, where it's sad, the women are called upon or take the leadership and services and positions because, frankly, in a lot of cases, there aren't men to do it. And that's an indictment upon men. We're called to take our part, fellas. And ladies, you are too. I find this interesting that our Lord impresses our brother to write this way with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Also, some of his brothers are there, as Brother Stephen pointed out some time ago in some of his studies in the adult Sunday school class. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and says, you know what? Peter is a converted fella. Peter's not thinking about going and doing production fishing in Galilee anymore, is he? Peter knows his calling. Peter remembers that, and he's been taught there by the Lord for those 40 days. He's seen the Lord alive. He's touched the Lord. He's seen the Lord eat. Remember that? That's important. And yet the Lord comes and goes, I believe, as he's with them and not. Or maybe he was there with them the entire 40 days, just like he was before. You know, something that I just hear at the services and thinking about the message, you know, the Lord doesn't leave his church. The Lord doesn't leave his church. He left her for a little while, for 3 days and three nights. But he was right back. He didn't have something else to go do. He was right back with her, wasn't he? And you know what? All those promises that he gave about the Comforter, what the Holy Spirit was going to do, that work of the Comforter in the church, when Jesus is taken up, the Comforter comes pretty quick too, doesn't he? Indeed. Amen. The Lord doesn't leave his church. Now we find in Revelation where in one of those churches that the Lord mentions there, he says, behold, I'm at the door and I knock. The Lord's not knocking at the heart, at the door of souls. He just comes in and takes over. But you know what? It can be with churches that the Lord can be on the outside knocking. And may the Lord not be on the outside of Amsterdam Baptist Church knocking. Amen? May we follow him. And may we honor him and follow him. So Peter, in those days, stood up in the midst of the disciples. He's got something to say and said, the number of the names together we're about 120. 120? Yeah, 120 that's going to be taken. We don't know exactly, or at least I don't know exactly what it is, 120 members. Yeah, 120 members. See, the apostles had families, and then there were others that were called. We're going to find out a point here that there were others that walked with the Lord Jesus the whole time from when Jesus came on the scene at where John the Baptist was baptizing. It just wasn't the 12. But there were others that trooped along. Now, we find in the Gospels that the majority of the Lord's dealing with dealings in the Scriptures, we see the apostles mentioned the most. But, you know, Mary Magdalene, when the Lord threw out those seven devils and saved her soul, Mary Magdalene followed along. Indeed, it looks like the Lord's mother followed along. It seems like, his brothers and maybe his sisters went from being unbelievers at the beginning of his ministry to believing before his ministry was over. Or maybe even some of the apostles, some of the apostles themselves, possibly. Okay? So there's 120 either families or individuals. Okay? So there's quite a crowd. And he says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." And we have other accounts of that in the Scriptures, where Judas went and hanged himself. And there was little sympathy regarding Judas in any way. He had taken the money from the Pharisees. He had become remorseful about what he had done. Not repentant, but remorseful. He'd been caught. And threw the money back in there, and then went out and hanged himself. And they said, "Well, this is blood money. This is hit money. You can't put it back in the treasury. Let's go buy that field, and this hassle we've had with these derelicts that die in the city, we'll bury him there." You know, along with, it turns out, most likely Judas. And so our brother begins to quote that in Psalms. And so, men and brethren, the scripture must need be fulfilled. So we see here our brother is feeding our Lord's lambs and sheep. See, he stands up. Now, there's some that declare or think or muse about that it's possible that the church didn't do right in seeking a replacement for Judas. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that the Lord would have chided that kind of response, okay? They've got Scripture to back it up, okay? And he makes this point, and we'll see it as he goes here. All right, so verse 17, "For he was numbered with us and obtained part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." Verse 19, "And it was known at all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in their proper tongue, Alsadema," that is to say, the field of blood. It was blood money that bought it. Judas betrayed the innocent blood, he said so himself, and then he destroyed himself, he murdered himself by killing himself, and there was that terrible thing too. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." So the Lord blesses Peter to understand there's an issue at hand. There's only 11 apostles. There's this scripture that's at hand in the Old Testament scriptures. And the Lord works with our brother and moves in our brother to declare it to the church. And from what is written here, the apostles, the other apostles, they don't say, "No, I don't see it that way, Peter." No, they agree. and they see that their connection to the instruction of the Old Testament Scriptures. They're not to pursue after Judaism anymore, but they see that this passage applies to them, the Lord's only church at this time. It applies to them. And they have, our brother has conviction to preach it and declare it, and the church has conviction from the Lord, under the leadership of the Lord, to say, yes, this is right. He says, wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day when he was taken up from us, which we read about that here earlier in the chapter, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. That's the main calling of the apostles, to be a witness of it. Now, I don't buy it that that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified and was buried and raised from the dead. I saw the tomb. I saw him die. I saw him alive. Along with this one, 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 this one. You go ask them too. But I was a witness. I was there. I saw it. I saw how he healed. I heard how he spoke and what he spoke. And you know what? I've been called, the apostles would say this, and that's who we're talking about here in their calling, their mission. I've been called to tell it over and over and over and over and over again. To tell it. Where is it that we're going to find for a long time that the apostles are headquartered? All the way into the time that the apostle Paul is called. They're going to be headquartered at Jerusalem. To date, what had been headquartered at Jerusalem? Judaism. The temple. And that's where the leadership of the Lord's church is going to be headquartered now. Okay? For a big piece of time. So he says, we need to choose another of our brethren that went all the way from the baptism of John to when the Lord was taken up from us. There had to be some men, there we know of at least two, there had to be men that were faithful to troop with the Lord during that time, didn't they? They had to be there. So there was more than the 12. And there was more, we see that also, that the Lord chose 12 from among his disciples that followed with him. Okay? So there were many. Now, I'm not saying that there was thousands, but there could have been hundreds. And then, just as a side note too, and one day maybe we'll take a look at that in depth, but you got to have 70 to send out 70. Okay, so that's just the way that is. Okay, so he tells about what their job is and what the qualifications are. Verse 23, and they appointed two. Okay, so Peter has made this declaration and given this witness of the scripture and what his directive he believes that the church should do. All right, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed. Now, notice that Peter didn't say, and it ought to be brother so-and-so. He didn't say that, did he? He gave a directive about what the Lord said in the Scriptures and what he believed and was convicted about should be done by the church, but the church had to receive it. And the church did receive it. And it was up to the church to do that appointing. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and I believe that indeed the apostles were involved in this, but certainly the church was involved in this too. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, verse 24, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So now there's 12 again. It says that the church received that, and then they prayed, which is appropriate. Lord, help us to understand your leadership. Could the Lord have said no leadership? Could the Lord have been silent in that regard? Well, he could have been. I mean, the Lord can do anything he wants, but there was a passage. See, there was a scripture that they held to. You know, that's what we need to do as we go forth, as we pursue the Great Commission, as we operate here in the church. You know, we need to have the scripture that we hold to. The scripture, what the Lord has instructed us. And indeed, we can get into areas maybe that there's not a direct passage that tells us a direct thing to do. And indeed, we need to pray. But we see a pattern here in the church. They had a passage, they prayed for leadership, and then they gave forth their lots. Was a lot a vote? I don't know. Was a lot something that was secret? I don't know. I don't know what it was. However it was that they did it, was the lot, as we would say, by chance? I don't know. I don't know. But whatever it is that they did, they bound themselves to it. And whatever it was, they looked to the Lord and trusted the Lord for it. And this man was numbered with the 11. And so we see our brother here. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. We don't hear about Matthias anymore. We don't hear about him anymore. Does that make it to where it's not true or not so? No. No, it doesn't. There's a lot of things that our Lord Jesus Christ did that John writes that weren't written about. And there were a lot of things that the apostles did and the reach of their ministry that were written about. And you know why they weren't written about? Because we didn't need to know them. Okay? And I'm sure maybe somebody was keeping records, but when the Lord brought the canon of Scripture together, he brought together what we needed. So we see here, Peter is feeding our Lord's lambs and sheep. We're going to be marching through the book of Acts, Lord willing, we'll pick up the pace as we go through the book. But we want to see Peter's involvement with several things. He is indeed a man changed. He is converted. He's dedicated to the Lord. He knows what his mission is. He knows what his calling of the Lord is to do. And you know what? In every way, he has confidence in the Lord. Now, you know what? We're going to see a failing of our brother. A lot of pressure at hand. All of us can be subject to pressure. Doesn't make it right. He's even chided by the Apostle Paul in it. But nevertheless, we see indeed a very faithful man unto our Lord. And may our Lord help us to follow this example and see the example of our brother. Is he the first pope? There are no popes. Right? The Lord said it wouldn't be that way amongst you. Our Lord is the chief shepherd. Our Lord is the head bishop, if you will. It's our Lord that we follow. And on all the churches of the Lord, and the Lord, the churches that are at hand now in all the world, and different parts of the world, I'm talking about the Lord's churches, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ churches, New Testament Baptist churches, called Baptist now, haven't always been called Baptist, but called Baptist now. Not every church that calls itself a church is a church. Okay, well, I'm talking about all the Lord's churches. The Lord's the head of all those churches. He's the leader. And then he's got pastors in those churches to be the under-shepherd, but yet taken from among the church to be a member of the church too. And the leadership of the Lord is upon the pastor and the church together. The Lord's made it. He's made it the way that he wanted. There's not hierarchy. There's not churches over churches. Peter wasn't the first pope, but Peter was a leader, an apostle called by the Lord, and we see him filling what our Lord called him to do.